Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
But I want us to consider tonight, before we pillow our heads, there's no reason for us to be afraid. Listen carefully to this psalm about trust. I've heard this read 1,000 times. Young men in this room have read it up here. And thousands of lessons have been presented on this. But this is a short psalm about trust and about the fact that Jesus Christ and God the Father is on my side when I am faithful. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look at God's Word and trust in God and see God's message clearly and make an application to me and to you. This is about trust. Our Heavenly Father wants us to not be afraid. There are some things we simply don't need to be afraid of. It's okay for a child to be afraid in the dark. I'm told how my 14-month-old grandson is beginning to have those normal, scary dreams at night. And to him, some things come in his little mind that are so scary. There are times when we are afraid. I can visualize in my mind now the many, many times that a woman, a housewife, a mother alone at night in some large city, husband traveling or working at night, knows that someone is trying to break into the apartment or into the house. You talk about terror. That's fear. I know once of a little child who rode the school bus and had to walk about 150 yards to his house. One day he was confronted on the path by a large, strange, and menacing dog. That kid was afraid, and he should have been. How would we describe fear? It's dread, isn't it? It's imminent concern for our safety. One, under the right circumstances, can be in a state of near panic anxiety. And one can be so afraid that he or she is terror-filled. God gave us those emotions for our protection. And yet, on the other hand, there's a kind of fear that is our worst enemy. And there is a good fear that's our best friend. In Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27, the New Testament says so clearly, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, therefore there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." There can be a point in the life of one when he or she knows that we are willfully sinning against God's laws, that we can live a life full of terror and fear and misery, knowing that God will indeed punish because He is righteous. I suppose the saddest part of all, though, is the fact that there are millions, maybe even hundreds of millions, who are going to face the judgment unprepared, and they're not even afraid because they're full of ignorance. Yes, there's a good fear. The right kind of fear can be my best partner. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, a scripture that you all know, God's Word says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man." King James says the whole duty of man, and rightly so. Reverence God, respect God, and this reverence and fear becomes the best friend that we can have from here to the day of judgment. It's so coincidental that the first song that Brother Greg led us in this evening was number 53, and I wanted to read to you again the words of number 52 just across the page. "Fear not, little flock," says the Savior divine. "The Father has willed that the kingdom be thine. O soil, not your garments with sin here below. My sheep and my lambs must be whiter than snow. Far whiter than snow, and as fair as a day, for Christ is the fountain to wash guilt away. Oh, give him, poor sinner, that burden of thine, and enter the fold with a 99. Yon sheep that was lost in the valley of sin was found by the fountain, was found by the shepherd who gathered him in. With songs of thanksgiving, the hills did resound, my friend and my neighbors, the lost sheep is found. Ride over temptation and cease your alarms. Your shepherd is Jesus, your refuge is arms. He'll never forsake you, a brother and friend, but love you and save you in worlds without end. Yes, there's some things we don't need to be afraid of. And in the best way I know how this evening, I want to remind you of some of the things that God reminds all of us of in His Word that we don't need to be afraid of. One of the greatest emotional and physical and spiritual blessings we can have is the contentment and peace that comes from knowing that God is with us. Every message that I understand that comes from God's Word is filled with the promise and hope that if we're with God, God is with us, and we need not fear. The first thing we need not fear, if we're in Jesus Christ's camp, if we're on God's side, are the fiery darts of Satan, because we have as our shield our Heavenly Father. In Genesis 15, verse 1, we read these inspired words. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." And in New Testament times, aimed at each of us today, tonight, here at East End. In Ephesians 6 and 16, inspiration writes, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." We do not need to be afraid of Satan if we're on Jesus' side. If we're doing the best we can every day, every hour, to serve the living Son of God. I still remember one of the beautiful practical lessons that Brother Colley delivered about a year ago, I think. Again, my memory gets fuzzy sometimes. But he brought us a great practical lesson entitled, "Can You Sleep When the Wind Blows?" His lesson, coming from God's Word, was to encourage us to know that if we have God in our camp, we need not be afraid. Yes, there are things to be afraid of, but if we have God on our side, we need not fear what Satan can do to us. But on the very practical side, if we're walking with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, then we better be afraid, for we're giving Satan a chance to take over our lives and to force his way into our thinking and into our actions. Secondly, as we think about pillowing our heads on this evening, this first day of the week, planning if God gives us tomorrow, we don't need to fear danger because we have God's presence with us. I've been around people in my life, and sometimes perhaps we've all been this way at a point or two in our lives. I've simply been around people who are constantly afraid of everything. Is it ever going to rain? Will I be able to live off my pension and my Social Security? Will we be able to see our way through? I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. And yet God tells us in His Word that if we're His children, we need not be afraid because God is with us. In Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 24, God speaking to Isaac, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." Oh, if God could make a promise to Abraham and a promise to Isaac, oh, how much more will God and has God promised us who are in Christ? We need not fear constantly because God's presence is with us at all times. Did you notice that in Matthew 28 and verse 20, as the closing comments of that Great Commission statement, the command to go. Jesus said, "And lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world." We don't need to be afraid. We need to have the confidence that the psalmist had. And moreover, we need to have more because we're in Christ and God will keep and protect us. Thirdly, here's something that we ought not fear. We ought not fear our enemies because the God of heaven has deemed that he shall protect his own. This lesson, by the way, has nothing to do with God giving me every physical thing that I might want, with God making me physically strong or making me famous or wealthy. That's not what we're talking about. God is saying in his message to us, Jesus Christ is saying in his message to his children, don't be afraid. Our Heavenly Father will defend us. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14, all of you will remember the scene at the crossing of the Red Sea. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Let's say that again. God will defend. I can, in my mind's eye, visualize that wonderful and horrible scene as those thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands of the children of Israel crossed on dry land. And then all that was seen of the Egyptian soldiers, the chariots, the footmen, and the horses and the horsemen were dead bodies washing up on the shore. God has said, "I will defend. Don't be afraid, my child." If I'm faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't need to worry about the darts of Satan. Yes, I must be cautious. Don't misunderstand this lesson. I don't need to fear danger because God's always present. And that doesn't mean that I do foolish things. And I don't fear my enemies, and the church has many, and true Christians have plenty. And by saying and knowing that we don't need to be afraid, I am not alleging, and the Bible is not alleging, that there won't be troubles and challenges and sorrows and failures and disappointments. But we don't need to spend our lives worrying that God won't be there when we need God on our side. To the faithful child of God, God says today, and he said yesterday, and he will say tomorrow if this world is alive. In Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Verse 31 we read, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Thank God. Thank God that the gospel eliminates fear from the lives of faithful Christians. There's a fourth thing that we don't need to be afraid of if we're faithful to God's word. There's simply no fear of being forsaken, for God has promised he'll never leave us. I know some people in this room who grew up in poverty. I know people that I work with who came from circumstances that were not economically good. And some of you understand precisely what I'm saying. There can be a great tendency in a very materialistic society such as the one in which we live to be constantly worrying about things. And that's why I'm so thankful this morning I could laugh so heartily when I made mention of a little 401k, a little organized savings thing where I work that's gone to nothing. I'm still the same person I was before it was alleged to be something. And Brother Greg, you and I and everyone in this room, when it comes time to meet God in judgment, when it comes down to those, if you'll pardon my language, the nitty-gritty things that count eternally, it won't matter. We don't need to be afraid. God will provide. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, Moses to the children of Israel, "Be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee, and He will never fail thee nor forsake thee." Tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe with all your mind and all your fiber that God will never forsake you? It takes a lot of giving up of self to come to the point that you know your Father will not leave you. James put it pretty clearly. James 4 and verse 8. And James, by the way, was talking to Christians. James was talking to Joe Ware. And I'm not offended by what he says, because I understand my humanity. And I understand the need for daily renewal of our faith and confidence to remove fear from our lives so that we can serve God. Draw nigh to God, he said, through aspiration, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That applies to me. And I thank God that His messengers were courageous enough to speak the words that He put into their mouths. We don't need to fear starving to death. You say, well, what about the people in Africa? What about those people in the India and Bangladesh? You know what the answer is? If any family in this room tonight or tomorrow, anytime, starts practicing generation after generation after generation of greed and lust and taking and putting God away and quit trusting God, quit having confidence in His power and His might and His salvation, you do that generation after generation after generation, and I guarantee you there'll be poverty. If you think I'm coming on too strong, all you've got to do is look at the pagan, God-hating, idol-loving millions on this earth who so desperately need to hear the gospel of Christ. And you and me sometimes, brother and sister, sit back and take it for granted. We don't need to fear starving to death. If we stay faithful to God, God will make a way. We don't need to worry about our burdens being unbearable. As is always the case, time just runs out. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." We don't need to worry about what man will do to us. Jesus has already promised that we're going to be hated of the world. You and I have got simple choices. We compromise so we can get along with the world, or we just simply say, God is my strength. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13 and 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We don't need to fear persecution. Let it be honor to us that we not only just talk the talk, but that we walk the walk. My friends and brethren, as we close out this beautiful day, and as we prepare to pillow our heads this evening, hoping that God will give us another day, let us learn through the gospel. Let us learn through the unchanging promises of God to not be afraid. May God help us to trust our Maker so much, and to love God's Word so much that we're simply not afraid. May God help us to be that way. And may God help this speaker to be fearless in always presenting the truth.